live, 720 WGN. Keep it tuned right here to 720 WGN for all of your latest on the polar vortex and the weather. Thank you so much, Don, for keeping us informed. And it's Tom Skilling. And a huge thank you to our panelists of journalists Seamus Toomey, Phil Rogers, and Tamon Bradley in the 7 o'clock hour. We are shifting gears a little bit here. I need to warm my heart and my mind and my body and soul and talk a little bit about one of my favorite places in the entire city, the Lyric Opera of Chicago. Thrilling music, powerful stories, exceptional international cast, company premieres, and memorable productions to experience in the 2019-2020 season. And I'm so thrilled to have my friend here, General Director of the Lyric Opera, Anthony Freud. Thank you, Anthony.
You're very welcome, Andrea.
But
you said it was one of your favorite places in the city. Surely you meant one of your favorite places in the world.
In the world. It's the only opera house I've ever been to. So it absolutely is my favorite
you
place in the world.
You don't need to go anywhere else.
I know I don't. I love when you visit me. I love that we've been friends for many years. I'll never forget the time you said, how would you like to interview me? And I said, well, of course, I always like to come to the Lyric and interview you for the start of our season or your season. And you said, well, I'll bring my friend Renee Fleming. And that was still to this day one of my favorite interviews that we did at the Lyric. It was right before the lunch that you have to announce the season. And Renee is actually finishing out this season.
She is. She's still very involved with Lyric. She's our creative consultant. Mm-hmm. And on March 23rd, we have a fantastic concert and gala celebrating the 25th anniversary of Renee's Lyric debut. A wonderful program involving a whole host of great stars, Susan Graham, Eric Owens, and Sondra Radvanovsky, who mm-hmm. hopefully will be joining us in a few minutes from her snowed-in home. It'll be a fantastic star-studded evening, so really an occasion not to be missed.
Absolutely, and it must be wonderful to have the expertise and the experience of somebody like Renee as part of the Lyric, as part of the consulting and selecting who and the productions that will be on stage.
It's absolutely priceless, because Renee, of course, has this extraordinary career, and she goes around the world singing. She's increasingly involved in musical theater productions now. She had a very successful run of Carousel on Broadway earlier this year. She was nominated for a Tony Award. And so she's extraordinarily broad in her interests, in her reference points, and she brings a level of imagination and dynamism to our thinking that really tremendously enhances what we do.
Many times when you have someone with that star power, they're there in name only, but she is here. She comes to Chicago. She is here. She's with you making decisions along with Sir Andrew.
Renee's decisions tend to be in the area of community engagement, in the area of engagement, education. She, for example, curated a fantastic project called Chicago Voices, a major two-year initiative that spanned schools work, community-created performances, and a fantastic concert, Chicago Voices Gala in the Opera House a year or so ago. She's also curated new work for us. She was the curator of Bel Canto, a fantastic large-scale new opera that we did a couple of years ago. She's very, very involved in a whole range of different ways. And when you combine someone of her experience and knowledge with Sir Andrew Davis's, we really do have an extraordinary team of amazing artistic minds.
A wonderful facet of the Lyric is Chicago Voices and the other programs where you give back to the community or you encourage the community to either audition or participate, be it through different concerts or different venues or auditioning. I love the fact that your community involvement is really second to none.
Lyric Unlimited is our very intensive, very radical community engagement and education initiative. We started it 7 or 8 years ago, and the activities that Lyric Unlimited encompasses range from commissioning a mariachi opera, commissioning a klezmer opera, to very intensive work in schools all over the city and beyond. We have an annual Opera in the Neighborhoods tour that goes around Chicagoland schools every fall. We have regular backstage tours. We have thousands thousands of students coming to visit the Opera House every year, etc., etc., etc. It really is a wonderfully wide-ranging initiative that allows us to deepen our relevance around the city. I see a great opera company like Lyric as a cultural service provider, and through Lyric Unlimited, we can really deepen and broaden our reach and our civic footprint around the city in incredibly important ways.
And I think you have, and you continue to do so as well. We're going to talk a little bit about the 2019-2020 season, but there's so many wonderful performances still at the very tail end of 2018-2019. You mentioned Renee Fleming. I know Elektra.
Elektra, yes. Richard Strauss's thrilling punch to the solar plexus. Opera experiences don't come more visceral or more exciting than Elektra. It opens this Saturday, February the 2nd. We have a fantastic cast, the great Nina Stemmer in the title role singing Elektra, making her really very, very long-awaited Lyric debut. Elsa van der Heeve, a fabulous South African soprano as Chrysotomis, and Michaela Martens, a wonderful American mezzo-soprano as Clytemnestra. Donald Ronicles is making his Lyric debut, conducting this magnificent production and magnificent score.
I also love how in the program, or in the I guess this is the program.
The brochure.
The brochure. It tells you the story. So Elektra, Elektra's mother murders her father, leaving Elektra hell-bent on revenge in this famed Greek legend. And then you also put, if you like, revenge movies, a good production of Hamlet, and a thrilling roller coaster ride.
There you go.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then there's also a Did You Know? Did You Know? Elektra is a hair-raisingly intense one-act opera that clocks in at under 2 hours, which is amazing.
It's the length of a great movie.
Yes.
And it has the impact of a great movie. It's completely thrilling. It's loud, it's visceral, it's exciting. It really blows the roof off in a way that few other operas ever do.
How is that possible? One act under 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. 1 hour, 40 minutes is the running time. And you stagger out breathless. It's so intense and so entertaining.
And we're going to talk more about Verdi's performance of... Oh, I did see this ad because it said very, very dynamic or something on mm-hmm. the marquee
uh-huh.
on the side as I was driving in today. La Traviata.
Verdi's La Traviata, one of the most loved operas ever written. A beautiful production, and the really gorgeous Russian soprano, Albina Shagimuratova, who was so wonderful in Il Puritani last year, in Lucia the year before, a real favorite with our audiences in the title role, singing Violetta, La Traviata.
Again, the story within the social circles of sophisticated Paris. The courtesan Violetta lives purely for pleasure, but longs for true love. At last she meets the love of her life, but their bliss is short-lived. And this is, if you like, Moulin Rouge, a good drinking song, heart-wrenching stories with music to match. And did you know that this is the opera that Richard Gere took Julia Roberts to in Pretty Woman?
Go. A multiple Kleenex evening. It's really irresistible. It's romantic. It's heartbreaking. Some of the most beautiful tunes ever written.
Sung in Italian.
But as with all our performances with translated English titles above the stage. So no one need worry about not speaking Italian or German or whatever the language of the performance, because you can follow exactly what is being sung with our super titles.
I love that. And even when you did Carousel or Oklahoma... I would read.
Not with our musicals. We don't super title our musicals. So West Side Story, which comes in after the end of the opera season, there won't be super titles. You don't need them.
Oh, see, I still like to read. I still like to look up and read what I'm watching.
Well, we rather you watched what was on the stage and listened to what was being sung.
I'm working on that. We're talking to Anthony Freud, the general director of the Lyric Opera, about the end of the 2018-2019 season and what's to come for 2019. Let's round out, before we take a break, let's finish out the 2018 season.
Yeah, so the last of the eight operas on the main stage,
yes,
is Handel's great, great masterpiece, Ariodante. A really exciting, intense, psychological drama. Some of Handel's most magnificent music, a great Richard Jones production that originated at the Aix-en-Provence Festival with a magnificent cast. Alice Coote, a great British mezzo-soprano, in the title role. She's one of the world's great Handelians, and it's really wonderful to have her in one of Handel's greatest roles.
Okay, this is, if you like, Baroque music. the plot of The Princess Bride, a really wicked villain, and the triumph of true love. And did you know this production replaces the ballet sequences at the end of each act with puppet shows that keep the story moving?
And puppets are a very important factor of this production, as they are when we come to talk about next season, The Queen of Spades, also a production directed by Richard Jones, also having some very important puppetry elements.
I love it. And is this the end?
An American Dream.
Okay, good. I didn't want to give anything away.
No. Every year, for the last few years, we've done a chamber opera out of the opera house.
Okay.
An American Dream is a Lyric Unlimited presentation, so it's part of our community engagement and education initiative. It's a very recent piece, music by Jack Perla, and it's a really heartbreaking story set in the 1940s about a Japanese-American woman and a German-Jewish woman and how their lives intersect unexpectedly. It's set on the West Coast, and it's about some of the really now very topical, very relevant stories of the persecution of the Japanese-American community when the U.S. joined World War II after Pearl Harbor.
Very timely, because this, did you know, is following the bombing of Pearl Harbor. All Japanese-Americans were required to evacuate the West Coast. This resulted in the relocation of about 120,000 people, many of whom were American citizens, to one of 10 internment camps located across the country.
It's a short piece. It runs only for an hour, sung in English at the Harris Theater. Only two performances, March 15th and March 17th, but really a wonderful contemporary work that is very lyrical, very moving, very touching,
yes,
very dramatic.
And very limited, again, as you just mentioned, Friday, March 15th at 7 and Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m.
Yes.
Get your tickets now. And
West Side Story.
Yes, you round out 2018-2019
absolutely
with West Side Story.
We've done a musical at the end of our opera season every year for now, I think it's 7 years. One of the great, great masterpieces of the repertoire, not just the musical theater repertoire, Leonard Bernstein, Stephen Sondheim. I mean, a tremendous piece based on Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. A fantastic production directed by Francesca Zambello, and a really thrilling cast. And it's playing for 4 weeks, opens on May 3rd. Come and see it. Don't miss it.
Oh.
It'll be West Side Story like you've never seen it before, but you've always dreamt of seeing.
It truly, truly will. Where can everybody get information or buy tickets or find out everything that you're talking about?
Lyricopera.org is really the best place to start, which is our website. All information about performances will be there. All information about buying tickets for this season and for next season.
Okay, so fasten your seatbelt. Much, much more to come with Anthony Freud, the general director of the Lyric Opera. After the break, we're going to talk to Sandra Radvanovsky, a soprano at the Lyric, and we're also going to delve into the 2019-2020 season after this on 720 WGN. 853 720 WGN. I'm Andrea Darlis. Thank you for being with us tonight on this cold and frigid evening in Chicago, but this will warm your heart. We're talking to Anthony Freud, the general director of the Lyric Opera, about the end of the 2018-2019 season and the start of the 2019-2020 season at the Lyric, and featured prominently once again, Berwyn's very own Sandra Radvanovsky. Did I say it okay?
Hello. Hello.
Sandra, we missed you here in our frigid weather.
Oh, well, we're having our own frigid weather here in Toronto. We're up to a foot of snow already, so woohoo!
It's exciting. We are so happy you are with us. I know you are going to be you're at the in the Renee Fleming piece, which is coming up in March
23rd.
March
23rd,
her 25th anniversary gala, yeah.
Yeah, Anthony is here with us as well.
Hi, Sandra.
Hello,
great,
Anthony.
Great to
Hi.
Chat with you. Can't wait to welcome you back to Chicago. Back home,
I can't wait
I should
either.
Say.
Back home. Now, Sandra,
so looking forward to it.
Now, we know you're from Berwyn. Tell us a little bit about growing up in the western suburbs.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny. I was just there visiting my mom, who lives in Geneva. And, you know, it's just such a special place to live. Chicago is so wonderful. The people are so warm, welcoming. It was a great place to grow up because I really was allowed that creative freedom, you know, as a child, to do whatever I wanted to do and really embraced all of that. And, the Midwest mentality is just so great. and I love coming back every time. I moved away from Chicago, when I was probably in high school. But it's still, you know, it's in my heart, it's in my soul, it's who I am, and all those formative years were spent there in Chicago. So love coming back, and I have a feeling I'm going to be coming back every season. Am I right, Anthony?
You're
now?
Absolutely right.
Yes.
And we're talking about some such exciting projects for the future.
Yeah, yes. Let's talk a little bit about the three queens in which you sing and star in, Sandra.
Well, you know, this was actually, I can't take credit for it. This was the conductor, Ricardo Frizzo, who was going to be conducting the concert. This was his, really his baby and his idea as we were singing Norma together. And he said, you know what, Sandra, why don't we do a concert of the last act of all three of these Donizetti queens? Because really, the best music for me is the last act of all three of these operas. And it really showcases the soprano in unlike any other kind of concert. So we are going to be doing the very first of these concerts because I am taking it on a world tour, but Anthony Freud here has agreed to do the very first of these concerts in Chicago, and it is going to be the last act, and it's going to be featuring artists from the Lyric Opera, the Young Artist Program there. And I think it's such a great opportunity for them to get time on stage and to get a showcase for them as well as for me.
But it's Sandra, it's a real showcase for you because the last scenes of these three operas, Maria Stuarda, Mary Stuart, Anna Bolena, Anne Boleyn, and Robert Devereux, they have an amazing, dazzling series of vocal pyrotechnics.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, because you can't, there's really no one in the world who can sing them like you. And so to have a concert featuring you, as you say, the full chorus and orchestra of Lyric Opera and soloists from our Ryan Opera Center, our wonderful young artist professional development program, it will be three very exciting evenings. We're doing it three times, all three final scenes performed at each concert.
I know. I think I'm slightly crazy, and I think you would probably agree with me. you know, I love challenges, and this is probably the pinnacle of all the challenges that I can do, all three of these last acts in one evening. But I think the audiences are going to be thrilled because the music is spectacular.
Sandra,
it really is.
It's more of you, Sandra, which is what we want. And I think you're attracting a whole new generation now and a whole new group of fans based on Mary Queen of Scots and The Favorite and The Tudors and the period pieces that we're seeing from this time now on the big screen and on TV as well.
Well, you know, it's really, I think it's a really hot topic right now with Meghan Markle now over there in England with all of the royals, you know, and the royals are really interesting again, and I think it's a very current topic again. So to bring these three queens back, you know, this is a part of the British history, and in a way, it's a part of our history in North America as well, because of the English influence here in North America. And it's fascinating. These stories are just, you can't write better history than this, and it's all true. So we're just perpetuating history, you know, the British history, and Queen Elizabeth, I mean, it doesn't get more fascinating than that. So I think people are going to be fascinated not just by the music, but the storytelling that we're going to be making. And it's not just going to be standing and singing. We're going to have action going on stage. So it's really going to be like three mini operas in one night.
And the three characters that you play each are so fascinating. Mary Stuart, Anne Boleyn, and Queen Elizabeth I. Mm-hmm. I mean, an amazing array of wide-ranging personalities. Mary Stuart is such a tragic, vulnerable, passionate figure. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth I in Roberto Devereux is Elizabeth in old age, isn't she?
Yes. And we see her in her very last moments of life clinging to the hope of love, which what woman, you know, doesn't long for that, to have true love, and to see this woman with unrequited love. It's great. And I have to tell you, in Mary Stuart, Maria Stuarda, the second that we're going to do, it starts with Anne Boleyn, then Mary Stuart, and then Elizabeth I. We're doing them in historical order. But there is one scene in this last act of Mary Stuart, Maria Stuarda, that has this chorus scene, and it truly is some of the most spectacular choral singing besides the Nabucco Va Pensiero, which is beautiful chorus singing as well. Spectacular. And to hear the lyric chorus sing this ensemble with me is going to blow everyone's socks off. I'm sure of it.
I cannot wait to see it. Sandra, we're going to ask you to hold on 1 second. A performance like that has got to be just so tedious for you as a performer. We're going to talk to you about performing and prepping and a little bit more about your background. And we're claiming you as Chicago's very own, you know.
Yay!
So hold on the line. It's Sandra Radvanovsky, soprano at the Lyric Opera, starring in two different productions. We hit on the Three Queens. We'll talk with her a little bit more after the news break. And Anthony Freud, the general director of the Lyric, we'll talk with you. And you're not going anywhere.
I'm not going
anywhere. Buckle in. You're stuck here with me now. It's 909 720 WGN. You just heard Don with those dangerous wind chills. Bundle up, stay warm. Don't go outside if you don't have to. But this will warm your heart. Just keep the radio right here on 720 WGN and on WGNradio.com. I'm Andrea Darlis, taking you up until 10 o'clock. And, I almost called you Sir Andrew Davis. Anthony Freud, the general director of the Lyric Opera, is in studio with us. And Sandra Radvanovsky, soprano, who is starring in two performances at the Lyric this year, including the Three Queens, which we were talking about, Sandra, before the break. And I learned that this is the first time that you will be performing this particular?
The other one.
This is
the Queen of Spades.
Yes.
Well, they're both first, actually, in a way.
Ah.
It will be my first time doing the Three Queens concert in Chicago.
Okay.
And Pete Dom is a role debut for me.
Ah, so Queen of, the Queen of the Queen of Spades, though.
A different queen, yes.
A different queen.
But again, Sandra's being too modest because she sang with huge acclaim at the Met all three of the operas from which she will be singing the final scene in our concert. So Sandra's famous to have sung at the Met Maria Stuarda, Anna Bolena, and Roberto Devereux. But this will be the first time that she will be singing in one evening the final scenes of the three operas.
Okay, the demands have to be just unbelievable. I mean, I think many would see this as overwhelming, but I think you'd see this as a wonderful challenge, Sandra.
You know, it is a challenge, and I love always pushing myself to try harder, to do more, to push myself and really, you know, explore my voice and my dramatic impulses and all of that. And these three queens really have challenged me in every way possible, physically with playing Queen Elizabeth at the end of her life, vocally playing all three of these wonderful women. The music is just so completely different for each of these three queens. And dramatically, it's just so wonderful to play these women that are such a significant and historic part of our history. And there's so much that's written about all three of them that I feel like I know them in a way, and I hope that I can kind of telegraph that to the audience as well.
But with Tchaikovsky's Queen of Spades, we move into a whole different world of spooky psychodrama.
Mm.
A fantastic role debut for you, the role of Lisa, a very, very different challenge from the bel canto world of Donizetti.
Different language, different time period of music, different style of music, but still spectacular music. And she's such a dark kind of Russian character, Lisa is, as opposed to the three queens, which are very much what you see is what you get. But Lisa, okay, she's not the lead in the opera, the tenor, absolutely. Brandon Jovanovich, who has sung this role so many times to great acclaim as well. And I'm so happy. This is actually the first time that I will be singing with Brandon. And really looking forward to it. I think he's sung in Chicago quite a few times, hasn't he?
Has. He's also a hometown boy, although he's originally from Montana. He lives on a farm in Illinois, so he's with us on a regular basis.
Yep, and a great colleague, a fabulous singer, and this role really, he just sings the snot out of it, and he acts the snot out of it. It's going to be really an honor to make my role debut with him in this. And the production, I hear, is spectacular. As you were talking about, Anthony, with the puppets and all of that, Robert Jones's productions are always so thrilling and great to be a part of. So
it's a very successful production. I actually commissioned it when I was general director of Welsh National Opera, but it's been seen in Brussels, in Rome, in Bologna, in Oslo, in San Francisco, in Toronto, and so it'll be wonderful to bring it to Chicago.
Sandra, how did your training in when you were younger? I mean, obviously you knew you wanted to do this from a younger age. How did your training in Berwyn and St. Charles in the Chicago area help prepare you for an event like this, a performance like of this magnitude?
Well, you know, I will say, being from Berwyn in the Cicero area, my father was Czech, and so the languages really, especially in Pikdom, it's so important to have a grasp of the Czech or the Russian languages, and because Pikdom is sung in Russian. So I was very fortunate to be surrounded with that whole the language with my grandparents, with my father, with my aunt, because when I was growing up, Berwyn and Cicero were really a big Czech hub, and so I was really engrossed in all of the languages and all of that, and was taught a lot about the Russian and the Czech history. So I'm really grateful for that. And also, music is just such a big part of the heritage there in Chicago. Not necessarily opera, but all kinds of music. And I was really just ensconced in all of it and was taken to the lyric at a very young age by my grandparents. And so it always was part of my upbringing, and it really was a part of who I was. And I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity at a young age. And that's really what the lyric now nurtures as well, is bringing music to the children, because if we don't bring music to the children nowadays, our art form is really going to suffer. And I think that is key when I was a child and now to this generation as well of children, to keep music relevant and present in their upbringing and their education.
We are looking forward to seeing you and your return to Chicago.
Yay!
And your performances.
March 23rd is the first time you will see me at Renee Fleming's 25th anniversary gala, and then I'll be back for the Three Queens, and then the Pikdom, my role debut. Can't wait to see all of you there in Chicago.
We will warm things up for you, I promise.
Sandra, we can't wait to have you back.
Thank you very
take
much.
Take care and
so
stay warm.
To both of you.
Absolutely.
Bye,
Sandra.
Sandra, are you anywhere? Where can we find you on social media? Where can we find you? Where can we follow you?
Absolutely. I've taken a bit of a break from social media because I've had some personal issues with my mother and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter. I am on Facebook. And starting next week, I am going to be going strong and hard with social media, so please, Sandra Rabinowski on all of the social media. I will be there and answering all of your questions personally, so right away and ask me any questions. I love to have that personal touch to social media. I think it's so important. So please be in touch with me.
We're getting a lot of texts from the 630 people from your area code.
Yes.
Can't wait to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sandra.
Stay warm. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too now. Oh, she's a delight. I love her. I can't
she's
wait to
wonderful.
See her. She's beautiful, and she just presses the
And
limits.
A magnificent artist. She's a great singing actress.
And a wonderful, wonderful person. And two of the performances for the 2019-2020 season, we're going to delve more into what's coming up, too,
Absolutely.
As far as the new season this year. More after this with Anthony Freud, the General Director of the Lyric Opera on 720 WGN. 920, 720 WGN. We continue our conversation with Anthony Freud, the General Director of the Lyric Opera. Let's touch on some of the performances for the 2019-2020 season. And I said, this isn't only the best season, it's one of the biggest.
Andrea, it's one of the biggest seasons we've ever created because it ends with three complete cycles of Wagner's mammoth Ring, the Ring of the Nibelung. Maybe the greatest experience anyone can have in an opera house, an opportunity to binge watch this extraordinary outpouring of human creativity, fabulous music. If you've enjoyed The Lord of the Rings, if you've enjoyed Star Wars, you owe it to yourself to actually experience Wagner's Ring Cycle in a week.
I think it can be done. I think it can absolutely
But that's the
be.
End of the season.
That's the
There's
end,
an
yeah.
awful lot going to happen
that's
before
the
it.
End. The start is the Barber of Seville.
We start with the Barber of Seville, and those of you who remember Bugs Bunny as the Rabbit of Seville, come and explore what started it all. Rossini's sparkling, witty, zany comedy in a fantastic production directed by Rob Ashford, who's a Tony Award winner, Olivier Award winner, Emmy Award winner, multiple award-winning director and choreographer. And his production is full of energy, full of wit. It's lighthearted, it's comic, and it'll be a great opening to our season.
That it will, conducted by our friend.
Well, conducted by Sir Andrew Davis. And one of the exciting parts of next season is that it marks his 20th season as Lyrics Music Director, an extraordinary tenure. And just to illustrate how extraordinary, I have some statistics for you.
Ooh.
Andrew made his Lyric debut just over 30 years ago. And in those 30 years, he's conducted 674 opera performances of 58 different operas by 22 different composers.
Oh, my goodness.
An extraordinary achievement.
That is extraordinary. He could never leave. He can never leave the Lyric
And next season, he's conducting the Barber of Seville. He's conducting the Queen of Spades, which we just talked to Sondra Radvanovsky about.
Yes.
And also, he's conducting all three of the Ring Cycles.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. That's perfect. Dead Man Walking caught my eye as well. I know that is in November. Is this similar to the movie, the Helen Prejean movie?
Well, it's based on Sister Helen Prejean's book and the Oscar award-winning movie. But it's different in interesting ways. The subject matter is the same. It's about a prisoner on death row in the Angola State Penitentiary in Louisiana. And Sister Helen is a nun who is a spiritual advisor and a correspondent with a number of inmates on death row in Louisiana. And the opera features a character called Joseph Durocher. And the opera begins with the crime. And we see that it is a terrible crime. And we see that there is absolutely no doubt that Joseph Durocher is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
He's on death row. He's awaiting execution. Then what? The opera is a fascinating exploration of the issues around the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Heggie, the composer, and Terence McNally, the wonderful playwright who's the librettist of this opera, really gives us an opportunity to understand the feelings of the victims' families and of the inmate, Joseph Durocher himself, and his family.
Wow.
And Sister Helen is the central figure of the opera. And we experience her crisis of faith as she comes to grips with the issues surrounding the death penalty and surrounding this terrible crime.
How moving that's going to be to see on stage.
It's an extraordinarily powerful opera. The music is incredibly accessible. It's incredibly dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
The production is very cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fantastic cast. We have Patricia Rosette, the great American soprano, who'll be singing her first Sister Helen.
Oh, wow.
And then Susan Graham, another really loved American mezzo-soprano, a great favorite with her audiences, coming to sing the role of Mrs. Durocher, Joseph Durocher's mother. And the two scenes for his mother are two of the most unforgettably heartbreaking scenes in the entire repertoire.
Mm. That is a must-see. Don Giovanni and Madame Butterfly is it
yes,
this year.
Yes, Don Giovanni in a fantastic production directed by Robert Falls. Obviously, everyone knows the artistic director of the Goodman Theatre. It's very vivid. It's very dramatic. It's set in 1920s Spain. In this hashtag Me Too era,
right.
The issues of Don Giovanni have never been more topical. And this is a production that really doesn't shy away from the violence and the viciousness of the title character. Yes, he may be charming. Yes, he may be dashing. Yes, he may be irresistible, but he's also a criminal. And the violence and the abuse that he inflicts on the other characters is very evident and very startling in this production by Robert Ford.
Your descriptions are just wonderful. Makes me want to see everything. And I'm going to, by the way. And we have to, we have to mention the end of The Ring too.
Before that, we need to talk about Louisa Miller by Verdi.
Ah, okay.
Because next year sees the start of a series of early Verdi operas. Lyric, over the next 5 or 6 years, is going to be exploring this rarely performed repertory. But it's wonderfully dramatic. It's wonderfully tuneful musically. And Louisa Miller is one of Verdi's greatest early works.
And we conclude with The Ring Cycle.
We conclude with The Ring Cycle,
yes.
The most mammoth undertaking
yes.
any opera company could ever do. Three complete cycles. We'd be building the four operas each year. Götterdämmerung, The Twilight of the Gods, will be the fourth opera that we will introduce as a new production, followed immediately by 3 weeks, three cycles, one cycle in each week.
Götterdämmerung.
Just say The Twilight of
that?
The Gods.
Götterdämmerung. Yeah, The Twilight of the Gods.
There you go.
I love this. This is wonderful, wonderful.
42nd Street.
And 42nd Street, I want to mention
musical.
Too. Yes.
All the way to the spring of 2020. A gorgeous production originated at the Théâtre du Châtelet in Paris. A fantastic piece. Our audiences will be tap dancing along Wacker Drive after every performance.
I cannot thank you enough. Where can people go to get information, to buy tickets, and this is all online, to everything that we've been discussing, The End of the Ring Cycle, 42nd Street, Queen of Spades, Madame Butterfly, all part of one of the biggest and best seasons ever.
Well, you can read all about everything we've been discussing on our website, which is lyricopera.org. You can call our ticket office on 312-827-5600. Best place to start is lyricopera.org, because you'll get lots of information. You'll see lots of video clips from productions. You can find out everything you need to know about Lyric's current season and next season.
Excellent. I want to leave you with a text too. Most memorable junior high school field trip I ever took was of the Lyric Opera House, followed by a performance. I was hooked. What an amazing place. Thank you so much for being here.
Andrea, thank you for inviting us. It's always a great pleasure to join you.
For me as well. And you can listen to this podcast at WGNradio.com a little later on tonight and tomorrow morning as well. So thank you so much. More after this on 720 WGN.